it is 93.7 WEEI. We are broadcasting right now from really beautiful Fenway Park. It's gorgeous outside. The crowd is starting to show up.
Friendly Fenway.
Friendly Fenway, absolutely. After a big... Oh, Yankees! Oh, the Yankees suck. Yes, they do.
Yeah, you do. Boo. You know it. You know they do.
We actually don't care. We're not. We know the Red Sox aren't very good. So yes, there was a Yankees fan.
She was disappointed. She wanted a battle.
I know she did. She was like Yankees fans, like, oh, looking for a fight. It's like, then no, no one's really looking for a fight right now. We know the team's not very good. It was a good win last night. It was definitely. Listen, Caleb Durbin, my man's got Lorenzo teaching him how to hit. They should bring him in here and replace that driveline guy. It is Rich Ken and Christian Arcand, and we are taking your calls right now. 617-779-7937. I don't think I have been more frustrated with this Celtics organization in a long time from when this news came out that Brad Stevens, according to Shams, so it's a legit source, that Brad Stevens right now is shopping around Jaylen Brown for 4 first-round picks, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard when you have Jason Tatum in his prime, that you're going to try to get picks. And we were just told by Jeff Goodman, who knows more about college basketball than almost anyone that I know, that the next 2 drafts are going to stink. They are not going to be good, and you're going to have to build all over. Why would you do that? Why would you waste Jason Tatum's prime years right now?
Question about Kyle just brought up a point that made me think. So Kyle, the caller, said basically this season was built on a house of cards. They should have known they weren't a legit contender. Do you think we're overrating internally here ourselves Jaylen Brown's worth? Like if he's – maybe they've shopped him around and nobody's interested. Obviously Miami's deal came in somehow higher than yours to Milwaukee. Was his season – not accurate in terms of what the league values his talent as? I mean, I'm just trying to think of any reason you're down to scraping for 4 firsts. And even at that, even more frightening, nobody's taken you up on that offer yet.
So you know what? It's tough to figure out, and Christian, I don't know if you feel the same way, it's tough to figure out what is lowering his value because no one's willing to give you what you want for Jaylen Brown right now. Is it, you know, the fact that they're taking a look at his play and they're thinking what happened last season was an anomaly and maybe he was overrated? Or are they saying, you know, maybe we just don't want this headache? You know, he goes on his Twitch streams. He seems to be causing more drama than we need around here.
Or he won't play nicely with another star. Like, he wants his own team, but not in Milwaukee because he won't sign there. It's, you know, he's got very particular needs.
It's a great point. And the only way I would lean towards they're probably more scared off of by his off the court stuff is because the guy's an NBA champion. I mean, his numbers are phenomenal. Yep. Like, you just look at his gameplay and
he
you
just
really,
had his best year.
Yeah, and he had his best year, and I know you're saying maybe there's people who look at it and say it's inflated. I for some reason or another, you're exactly right. His value is not anywhere near what
like
Brad Stevens thought.
The Timberwolves wanted LaMelo Ball ahead of Jaylen Brown. They had their choice of the two, apparently.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, we'll take Ball.
And more stable. And also, you know, there's the fact that maybe they just don't think he's worth the kind of money he's getting paid as well to take on that contract.
I think that's a big part of it. I think that's a big issue here is that we would love to see Jaylen Brown get the market that he deserves, and we'd love to see teams come and make those offers. But him being a max player is restrictive. And yeah. I think you heard Brad Stevens talk about that a little bit after the draft. He talked about all the challenges of having 2 max players and how it's so great to have these talented young homegrown guys. But number one, they're not that young anymore. And number two, it is now with the new CBA, very tough to build around it unless you have Wick and, you know, the old man who want to spend all this money. Yep. And if you don't, then you have to, you know, peel around the edges. And that's what they've been doing. And I think now part of this, what's happening with Jaylen Brown here, I wouldn't be shocked if it was just, hey, we don't want to pay him the extension.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, simple as that. So let's just get this over with now, and we'll start over with the draft.
And that scares me because it makes me think that the Celtics ownership, because we don't know anything about them. We honestly don't know if they're cheap, and we don't know if they're the type that will spend as much as they can to win. Right now, we're leaning towards cheap. Especially with this 4 picks thing, this is pretty scary. As a matter of fact, I mean, the one thing we know about, there's a couple things we know about Brad Stevens here in this postseason. Number one, he said he needed a rim protector. Okay, great, thanks. Number two, he tried to trade Jaylen Brown for Giannis. It didn't work. He wouldn't give Hugo Gonzalez. He wouldn't give anybody else. He said just Jaylen Brown. And when that fell through, it seems like he's still doing everything he can to get rid of him, including possibly doing 4 first-round picks, which is just the dumbest thing you can possibly think of. Like the fact that you have Jason Tatum here and you're willing to, like, just for the next couple of years, just go, you know, wait a little bit. Wait, maybe we'll put something together. When you have bad draft classes coming up, that could ruin all of it. Well, the one thing I will say is that we're not the only ones saying this. We're not the only ones saying that Brad Stevens may be the one who is like completely blown this whole thing up and made a fool of himself, which I can't believe I'm saying, because Brad Stevens, I've up to this point have thought, is one of the best GMs in the league. What Brad Stevens has done since he's been here has been nothing short of phenomenal. He's done an excellent job.
He is the reigning executive of the year. I mean, we were all praising his ability to have a season like this.
He's been great. But Kendrick Perkins, he seems to agree with us. Let's take a listen.
Brad Stevens, you dropped the ball, because there's no way in hell that you should have lost that Giannis sweepstakes to the Miami Heat. If you're going to jump off the porch and put a guy like Jaylen Brown available, knowing that you tried to trade him once before, you better get that deal done some type of way. Or you better have a plan B. I don't want to hear about an uncomfortable conversation that you got to have or that y'all had. No, I don't want to hear none of that. It should have been a plan B. It shouldn't take this long. But on the flip side of it, make no mistake about it, when Jaylen Brown stepped between those lines, he's one of the best two-way players in the game.
It doesn't it seem like he had no plan after Giannis?
Yeah, like he thought he had Giannis locked up.
Yeah.
Really, I think he really thought he had that, and that was it, and it was going to be a big parade for Brad Stevens, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, they're taking Tyler Hero in the picks, and this pivot is just not, I don't know, I don't even know what the pivot is anymore.
I keep hearing different names, yeah. Different teams. Yeah. None of the names as good as Jaylen Brown, and the teams, like, and them saying, now it's four first-round picks. Let's go to Josh on line one. Josh, what's happening, man? How's it going?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing? Good. Worry that you guys are going to hate me for this, but I was reading Nate Silver yesterday, and he was talking all about how Bill Simmons, there's kind of a conventional wisdom that JB is a top 20, maybe top 15 player. But if you look at some advanced analytics that Nate Silver was pulling up, they said he was like 60th. And I wonder if what's going on is Stevens is realizing that the other GMs around the league view him as more of a 60th best player in the league. Maybe they're stat heads, you know, they do nothing but chuck up three-pointers all game, and they just follow those advanced analytics to the point of valuing him way lower than we do.
Josh, it's an interesting theory, because we have learned that apparently other teams don't look as highly value-wise at Jaylen Brown as the Celtics do, or even Celtics fans. I mean, it's never been more apparent than right now. And I would like to hear what Nate Silver had to say. I don't know where was that? Did you say you talked to Bill Simmons about that?
It was on his blog. He linked to some Simmons thing over at The Ringer. I don't know. You get the Substack in my email every morning.
Okay, yeah. Usually I'm kind of over the nerdy stuff, like Nate Silver type stuff, but that's interesting to me, because I would like to find some sort of justification for what's going on.
Didn't Silver bomb like the last three elections too? Like,
whoa. I think he did.
Pretty sure he did.
But I have
like
heard,
his main thing now.
Haven't you heard that from the nerd guys that cover the 60th? Basketball?
No.
That Jaylen in the playoffs was a minus player, and in particular,
yes,
when he was on the court and Tatum wasn't, he was. And then it was when Tatum was back, it was much. I think he was a minus 23 or something like that in the series. So. Obviously, they all struggled. They had multiple reasons for losing that series. But maybe there are some deeper, you know, people looking at the numbers and saying, boy, I don't know about Jaylen. And I think Dice on the text line brings up a good point. I think this is right. 508 text from Dice. He says, Tatum is the most easygoing superstar in the world. No drama. Yet, JB is having a tough time pairing with him. Don't you think other teams are scared to pair him with their stars? Cade Cunningham, Ant-Man. There's probably a nervousness to trade for him and have him be 1A, 1B in another place.
I mean, sure. And we do know, according to The Athletic, that Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Bucks during the whole Giannis thing, was afraid of Jaylen Brown's attitude. He was afraid that once they got him there, Jaylen Brown, there was some sort of signal that was sent towards Jimmy Haslam. They were very vague as to whether or not it came directly from Jaylen Brown or from someone close to Jaylen Brown that was basically saying that if Jaylen Brown became a Buck, he wouldn't sign an extension. And if you tried to trade him, he'd be a pain in the ass about it. A trade under duress is the way that they described it. So, I mean, yeah, maybe there's part of that as well. I don't want this guy coming in here to our, we're trying to build something strong here, like a decent culture around a guy like Cade Cunningham. You know, I'm trying to think of these, you know, like young up and coming players. And why would we do that and let somebody come in here and like Twitch stream and talk trash on the other star on the team, which I hate to tell you, Jaylen Brown, that's how other people are reading what you said about this being your favorite season, is that you're trashing Jason Tatum. And it is funny how Jason Tatum hasn't done anything to squash that.
Nope.
Nothing.
Two interesting teams thrown out on ESPN this morning that he would fit with. One is Golden State and Curry, which is kind of a wilder one.
Too young.
That's what Perk says.
Everybody in Golden State's like 40 years old.
I guess. But and the other was Denver, and I think that does make sense. Denver's desperate. They need to somehow make a bold move with Jokic. That seems like a fit to me. But then do you take a chance on Murray, you know, and that's not a big man.
So. I love Murray.
I'd take a chance on Murray.
Yeah, I would too. Like Murray's a star. Like these other names that we've been talking about, like Jalen Duren and stuff like that, it's like, all right, great, neat. But you talk about Murray?
He struggled recently in the playoffs too. The other thing is Mitchell Robinson is unlikely to return to the Knicks. That report's out today. So you could trade for Murray and then add Mitchell Robinson, something like that, you know, if you're going to get your big man somewhere else. And bring back Kata and have those two.
But if you're going to trade for Murray, then just keep Jalen. Like, they've already, you know that the two of them, for the most part, do well together, him and Jason Tatum, and that doesn't solve your big man problem.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Murray or Duren, one or the other.
I don't want, okay, put it this way. I would rather have Jalen than both.
Than either one, yeah.
You know, I mean, because it's a downgrade if you go Duren, and if you bring Murray in here, who is a star. To me, it's just you're not solving the problem of not having a big man. And I also know that Jalen and Jason work together. They do. They've won a championship together.
If you bring in Murray, you probably trade White also. And can
or Pritchard too, yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, Pritchard's so valuable. Contract-wise, maybe they don't. But either way, you could trade him and maybe get a big man that way, at least a marginal big man.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other options, anything but four picks. I don't know how he's going to sell that to the
fan
base.
That is the worst.
That would be wild.
That the fact that Shams reported that today and went on ESPN and said that right now, Brad Stevens is looking for four first-round picks for Jalen Brown.
It'd be worse than the Rafi Devers trade. I mean, much worse.
I'm wondering if that has something to do with ownership just saying, I don't want to spend any more money on this guy. Done.
That would be the accusation, that it's a slingshot year and they're rebuilding. I mean, at that point, you'd be thinking about trading Tatum, too. Like, what's the point of keeping Tatum with four first-round picks?
That's embarrassing. And you know what? It makes me question everything about this ownership. Because we don't, as I said, we don't know whether they're spenders or they're cheap. But if you're going to get rid of Jalen Brown for four first-round picks, you're cheap. Like there's now we know. Now we know who you are. You've shown your cards. You got rid of a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it to get four, I don't want to say worthless picks, but these aren't good drafts coming up. What a waste. Oh, that would really be bad.
And maybe one of them could turn into Jalen Brown.
And maybe, you know, right, lucky. Possibly.
It could be a boat in the box, you know? Like, yep. All right.
Yeah. You never know. All right, 617-779-7937. I will say this. Our own Dale Ordway has been working on something.
Oh, really?
Yes, he has. He's been working very hard during the show.
Stand-up night again or no?
No, he has been working hard on something. There is a certain restaurant that has shut down, that has the whole city talking, and he's got something to say about it. We'll also take your calls about Jalen Brown or whatever else you want to talk about. 617-779-7937. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
My understanding is in some cases, the Celtics have asked teams for at least four first-round picks for Jalen Brown. He's got 3 years left on his contract at a supermax clip. So where does that put him as far as his value? And if this is a Boston team that's been contending in the Eastern Conference and their potential ask for some teams is a package of picks and players, how have they reimagined this roster moving forward, their finances, their viability as a contender in the Eastern Conference? But I do think as of right now, time will tell which side will bring the urgency to this matter this offseason. That's enough for me.
Oh. You got me begging. Memories of Tuesday night here. Oh, this is Rufus Soma, right? Looks like I'm
on my knees. Sold out at Fenway. Is it the first EDM concert at Fenway?
That's amazing. It sold out.
Oh, dude, it sold out right when it went on sale because I went to go buy tickets. I go, oh my God. So I had to like buy them off like one of the scalp websites. What a good show though, man.
I never really heard this music, but I dig this. This is cool.
Oh yeah. They were awesome live. So they're like one of those bands that's a mix between EDM and live music too. It's like they have keyboards but there's also a live drummer. And yeah, it was awesome. Beautiful night too. It is Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan here on WEEI. We are down at Fenway Park. 617-779-7937. And that clip right there is just infuriating, the Shams one.
You got to love the phrase reimagined roster.
Yeah.
That's just buzzword city right there.
Yeah, this
we've reimagined the roster for 2026.
Let's go to Chuck on line 4. Chuck, what's happening, man? How's it going?
Hey, Rich, it's great hearing your voice on the radio again.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be back.
Yeah. I think you guys are missing the whole point. I think Brown went to the manager and said, you don't realize how much I'm worth. And that's all they're doing is proving that he ain't worth what he thinks he is.
Chuck, I mean, it does seem that way, doesn't it? As far as, like, I mean, I think all of us thought his value was higher than this. And, like, Brad Stevens is being laughed at by these teams. The names that are being offered up, I'm like, dude, you're not Jaylen. That's not Jaylen Brown. That's not someone who was in the conversation for MVP. And then the 4 picks thing just pisses me off because now it just sounds like no matter what, they want to get rid of him, even if it means rebuilding. It doesn't that make you mad, Chuck?
No, it doesn't make me mad. It makes Brad Stevens smart because he says, dude, you ain't worth this. We ain't re-upping you for any future contracts. You better keep your head in the game because you're just a dog playing out there with other dogs.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Like, he's like, you know, listen, man, you think you're big. Apparently no one's going to give up any picks for you. No one, I mean, you know, Evan Mobley is the best thing we're being offered right now.
Now, there was a report that Jaylen did not ask for a trade, right? That's out there in the last 24 hours. Jaylen did not demand a trade. Do you believe that reporting? It was that he had nothing to do with this. This is all.
I believe that. I think I actually believe that. I think that this is Brad Stevens saying, okay, we have a problem. We've got to figure out how we get a big man in here. And Jaylen's kind of being a pain in the ass. And to be quite honest, I think his time here is done. And if we can get Giannis, everyone's going to be happy. And then they blew it on Giannis, and it doesn't seem like Brad Stevens has a plan B.
Well, that's the problem. So I totally agreed with Brad's plan and to get Giannis. He failed. And to Perk's point, it's such a bad look because there appears to be no plan B. But then the inability to go back to Jaylen Brown, they seem unwilling to re-engage with him now. And I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube. You know, as we were saying, you can't unbreak dance at a wedding.
But as Bradfo said, they dealt with Manny for many years. It was much worse than this.
You can't unmilk the cow, you know? Yeah. Can't put the mayo back on the sandwich.
I hate that.
You know? Can't unmicrowave the fish at work. Let's go to Drek on line 3. What's up, Drek? How's it going?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Drek.
So, listen, what was the name of the reporter that did that piece on Jaylen Brown being 61?
Oh, Nate Silver. You're talking about like Nate Silver who said statistically Jaylen Brown is the 61st.
That is a hit piece. That's a hit piece to destroy his value. I don't care. You can't look at it any other way. In what world do you look at that? Basketball minds look at Jaylen Brown and say, you know what? I can name 30 guys better than him. Well, he didn't even, you're not even halfway there in that guy's opinion. He's 61. There's no other way to look at that. There is no way a rational basketball mind can say, yeah, I can name 50 or 60 other players that are better than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Drek, I agree with you, but you shocked?
By the way, Derek.
Oh, like, Derek. Oh, Drek, it
I like
says
Drek better. Hey.
Yeah, Drek sounds... No, Drek, that's my cousin, Drek, and then the other one's Shrek. So, you know, we're hanging out listening to you.
Well, thanks, Derek. I appreciate it. Let's go to
Dale Ordway special right there.
Thank you, Dale Ordway. Let's go to Cooper online too. Cooper, what's up, man?
What a difference a letter makes. Jeez.
What's up, guys? You know, I'm just wondering, right? So with all this off the court stuff Jaylen Brown's got going on, if he was to go somewhere, everyone's all nervous. He'd have to go to somewhere where they already know him, like Ime Udoka in Houston. But the question is now, would they be, you know, returning like KD or like young guys? And like, because I feel like they have some picks, right? I don't really know what their situation is, but the only person who could trust Jaylen would be Ime.
Well, one of the guys on ESPN this morning, and they have somebody, I forget his name, but one of their insiders said he checked with Houston and they are not trading. They're not interested in Jaylen Brown. That was the report. Yesterday he checked with them and they got back to him and said, we're not in the mix. So you can possibly rule Houston out.
I do know that. Like, wasn't, like, when that whole thing ended, wasn't Jaylen Brown, like, one of Ime's biggest supporters? Wasn't he kind of his guy? Yeah. So, I mean, there's a friendship.
He was upset that he got fired.
Yeah.
He was upset that happened.
He was upset.
We get a lot of texts about Cooper Flagg. That's one that keeps coming back up. Would Dallas consider sending him back here?
If I was Dallas, I would be terrified of making any trades for a decade. I mean, just
right.
I've got a friend of mine who's a Mavericks fan and who lives in Dallas, and they still have not gotten over the Luka trade. And like the Jalen Brunson whole deal, like they're sitting there, There is a picture, I was talking about this, of Jalen Brunson and Luka both being like in the same draft, holding up like their Mavericks jerseys. And like people think it's AI. Like people think it's fake that the Mavericks had those two players at one point on their roster and traded away both of them.
Cooper Flagg right now is signed as long as Jalen Brown is. And Cooper Flagg, if you add up all four of his years, including the one you just had, all he's being paid, it's $62 million, which is 1 year of Jalen Brown. So just to say that, like, we understand how much these owners and these teams care about saving money and not doing financially irresponsible things. Trading Jalen Brown for Cooper Flagg would be as irresponsible as you could get.
I know.
For the Mavericks.
But unfortunately, you know, for Brad, you can't unlick the stamp.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm.
Can't get the squirrel back in your pants. Let's go to Darren on line one. Darren, what's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had one question. They keep talking about Braun, how he rates. Do you consider Braun a top 10 player in the NBA now, or am I rating him too high?
LeBron? No, he's not a top 10,
no,
but
no,
I mean...
LeBron.
Brown.
Jaylen,
Brown.
Oh, I thought you said LeBron. Oh,
no,
Jalen?
Jalen Brown, a top 10 player in the NBA.
Yes.
Ooh, he's fringe. He was
sixth in the MVP voting, right? So he's technically...
Yeah. Sixth in the MVP, second team All-NBA. I say yes, top 10. Yeah.
I could probably name 10 players right now that are better than him. He's close. He's close, but he's very close.
He's close. I mean, then the top 15, then you have to say he's in the top 15.
There's no question.
So
yes.
Where are these rumors saying that he's in the top 60, but... I think the ownership is playing a factor in here. Then you guys mentioned you took kind of what I was going to say. I think the new ownership, he's on the background. I think he's playing a factor in all these decisions. I don't think he wants to give Braun the $70 million to re-nup for the next 2 years. And I don't think he wants to pay someone $60 million a year. I think he's going to hold it back, and he's putting pressure on Stevens to do it. And we're going to make an irresponsible decision that's going to set us back and not take advantage of two generational stars that we had, Tatum and Braun, and blow this thing up.
Yeah, I mean, good point there. Darren, good call. I keep looking at this thing, and I just can't figure out, like, what happened behind the scenes that just makes Brad Stevens convinced that he's got to get rid of him. And there's part of me that thinks this might be ownership.
If it is ownership, what would worry me if I'm Jason Tatum is that this is making me look like the bad guy. Mm. Like somehow I endorsed this, or I forced him out, or I won't play with him anymore, or I didn't want to play game 7 because he was around and it was his team.
Jeez, man, that is a good point, because, I mean, maybe that's also part of why he's not talking. Maybe ownership and Brad have said, you know, we don't want you saying anything through all this because, God, that's what it could be. And this whole picks thing is the first time I thought, maybe this new owner is super cheap. Just like he doesn't care. He says, I see this 2 year extension coming down the road for $70 million. It's like $70 million a year, right? Isn't that what it would be?
$140 million over 2 years.
Yeah, listen, that's a lot of money, and it would make me scared too. But the fact that now with 3 years left on his contract, they're trying to get picks for him.
But they were in on Giannis though. That makes me say, well, hold on. If you're going to trade for Giannis. And it was a somewhat legitimate offer. We think it was a pretty fair offer compared to one Miami.
You can be both. You could say, because Brad could have convinced ownership, listen, we can bring Giannis in here. We're paying the same amount that we would have basically with Jalen Brown. You know, we're going to make a run for it. At least that's a combo. We know what the problem was. We identified it. That's a combo that can hopefully have us win a championship. And then the owner's like, well, if that doesn't happen, then we're going to just, you know, we'll do your plan. We'll go with what you wanted. And that is to try to shed some of this money and maybe get some younger players. Tatum's going to be good for a while. You know, he's still young. God, that pisses me off.
Is this what Dale Ordway addresses in this piece that we're going to hear?
No. When we come back, Dale Ordway's been working very hard on something for us. No. He's very upset about a certain restaurant chain closing. So we will get to that and continue to take your calls. 617-779-7937. Listen, you can't get the confetti back in the cannon. That's all we know, all right? We'll take your calls next. Oh, yes, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, Christian Arcan right now at Fenway Park in the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio. Brought to you by New England Ford Dealers and Employee Pricing for All. You pay what we pay, Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, go on the Odyssey app, and you can press that little microphone button and leave us a message. Launch us a take grenade. We play those in the 5 o'clock hour. So much we've been talking about today. Obviously, the whole Jalen Brown situation. We've been talking about how somehow The Red Sox won against the Yankees. It was like the worst team in the American League. Beat the
comeback.
Best team.
They when they're down 2-0, they never come back. That is like a shocker.
It's Caleb Durbin, baby.
It's got to be a low point of the year for the Yankees.
I'm not joking. Like that Lorenzo guy who he had on.
Oh,
I mean,
he's the best.
You can trace how well Caleb Durbin has been playing from the moment he went and saw this batting coach. If you don't know what we're talking about, there was an article that came out about how Caleb Durbin got so frustrated with how, I mean, his first 2 months here were just atrocious, like awful. And he got so frustrated that he ended up finding this batting coach, which was, where is it, Arlington? Or
right? Waltham, I think.
Like Waltham?
Yeah.
A guy named Lorenzo, and went and saw him, and it was somewhat of a controversy because, you know, there are people who in the off season will go and find their own batting coaches, but during the season, you know, usually, like, you know, major league teams have tons of resources at their disposal. And they had the driveline guy here. They had all these different batting coaches, but he said, screw it. None of these guys are working. I'm going to go on my own. And Lorenzo is this dude we had in studio. We talked to him and he doesn't even play baseball. He's never played baseball. He just kind of watches it and tells you what to do. And sure enough, ever since he started seeing him, his numbers have been through the roof. Listen,
nice, Will
Fleming went a little nuts last night, but I don't blame him at all.
1 hour sleep, Will texted me.
And our guy Lorenzo does not mind bragging about it. I got a text from him over the weekend saying, hey, you see this Caleb Durbin, huh?
Well, you should.
Yeah, take a victory lap. And you know what? And to that, I say, why the Red Sox aren't calling that guy and saying, whatever magic sprinkles you put all over Caleb Durbin, you sprinkle that all over everyone else and put it on Roman Anthony's hand while you're at it.
Didn't another player recommend Lorenzo?
Mookie Betts had gone to see him when he was a Red Sox. The story apparently was, behind the scenes, they were pissed about it. And I don't know if they made him stop, but there was some sort of kerfuffle about Mookie going to see Lorenzo.
Yeah.
We had Lorenzo in, and I asked him that, and he denied it. And he said, nobody's ever told me that. But there was some reports that the Red Sox were not thrilled with that, even though Bregman had his own hitting coach, and so did J.D. Martinez and others.
Yeah, get him here now.
Rafaela as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did.
Oh, and Narvaez. I think Narvaez.
And Narvaez is the one that brought him to the Sox. Yes.
That's what it was. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's I think who it was. But whatever he did, it worked.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one player on this team that's like hitting the snot out of the ball.
At least give the guys like a free session or something, like go around with a card. One free trip to see Lorenzo.
How funny would it be if that's what saves Craig Breslow's job? If he just calls Lorenzo and Lorenzo comes in here in the Lorenzo mobile and just like does what he does. And all of a sudden everyone starts hitting. The proof is there.
Yeah.
You can almost trace it to exactly when he went and started seeing this hitting coach. And it was so funny because he kind of showed us what he did and what he told Caleb Durbin. And there's a video out there of like what he did. And it doesn't seem like it's rocket science, but he's like almost more of a therapist than he is like a structural, you know, batting coach. And it worked. So
they should let him. It is Greasy Pole Weekend in Gloucester.
It's true.
Is that this weekend?
I believe.
Literally the best townie sporting event of all time.
They should let Lorenzo walk the pole. I know we got into this last year with Tom, who runs the whole thing. The waiting list that is years long. But Lorenzo should be rewarded for his work with Durbin. Let him walk the Greasy Pole.
I find it very hard to believe that the waiting list is super long when there's dudes dressed as like hot dogs running across it.
Dude, we had Tom Favazza on last year, who was like, he was like a hero because he walked it successfully years ago. He was showing us all his pictures. He looked like Stallone in his prime. He managed this thing. And I was on the phone with him and the crew from Gloucester with Mike Milbury, because Milbury had set up the whole trip up there. His sister has a restaurant up in Rockport, and we had a great event going on.
That hotel looks right out at it, too,
it
right?
It does, yes. Yeah, what's that unbelievable. Forget the hotel we stayed at. But these guys were yelling at Mike Milbury on the phone, like, you don't understand. There's a waiting list. I'm out. You can't just cut people in line. It was like a knockdown dragout. We were stunned.
I love what happens to the winner. Like if you don't know what we're talking about, obviously in Gloucester, there's this elevated, like, it's almost like a telephone pole that just goes out into the water. And what is it, 20 feet high, 30 feet high? It's pretty damn high.
Looks high.
Like, it's so high that I remember when we talked to one of the winners, said the toughest part is hitting the water. Like, it can knock the air out of you.
Well, I think they hit the pole when they're in a lot of broken ribs, because they slip and break your rib and then you go into the water.
Yeah, they cover the whole thing with Crisco, and at the end or some sort of like...
It's not Crisco. This was one of the points of contention. They said they have to grease it with $2,000 grease. Like, it's special grease they import from Sicily or something.
It's like...
I'm serious.
It's like pomade or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's not just Crisco. It's like, it has to be a special, like, approved grease.
Sure, of course. And at the end, there's a big flag. Yeah. And everyone tries... Everyone's got a different method. Do you, like, tiptoe? Do you run as fast as you can? And you try to grab this flag before you fall in the water. And, like, everyone racks themselves. They, I mean, it truly is... It's like gladiator games. It's like human cockfighting, pretty much. These people, like, you know, basically break their ribs and getting in there.
And it's got to be high tide. You can't, obviously, it depends on the tide. You have to time it properly. And so all that factors in.
Yep. And what's wild is that if you win, you're basically the king of Gloucester for a night.
Yeah.
Like, they carry you on your shoulders. They bring you to all the bars. You can basically plow your way through there. You know? It's like you have, you know, women like throwing their underwear at you. Like, you're the king of Gloucester for a night. Or queen. I don't know if a woman's ever won it, but, you know, I think I've seen a few run it.
Kind of tartan army coated, you know?
Like, yeah, right. It's the best townie event of all the townie events ever. It truly is something we're seeing. You know what? I've only seen it on video. I've never been able to experience it live. That's this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Oh, man. I think it might... would start today, right?
I think they have multiple events over 3 days, yeah. So it's a whole weekend thing. They have the old school boats that they row. They have competitions. So
I love it. It truly is the best. But you know what else was the best to our own Jackson? Is he loved the restaurant Hooters. Jackson, you were a big fan of Hooters, correct?
Well, I mean, there was nowhere to go, you know, before we turned 18. Because I was in a band since I was like 12, and so we were always out on a boat on the town. And, you know, we couldn't go to a strip club or a bar, so Hooters was the next best thing.
Well, it looks like the last one in the great... Is it this last one like nationwide, or is it just in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts. And okay. Three of them, I think.
Okay, there's three of them shut down. I think they all shut down.
No, Dedham's done. Dedham's all done.
Oh, boy. Yep.
They're all gone.
I think... So SOG is shut down. They all shut down, so there's no more Hooters.
They're gone!
Without any notice. I mean, geez. I mean, it gives people a warning.
Was there no notice? I have no idea. I know is that the Boston...
You knew they were bankrupt like a while ago, so I don't think it's a big shock.
I just love the fact that like someone has a great sense of humor who does the layout of the Boston Globe's front page because it says, you know, the last Hooters shuts down in Massachusetts. Then underneath it goes, also unexpectedly, the Pink Taco shuts down in the seaport.
That's related. Ah,
boy, 1-2 punch.
That's right. As I said, the only thing would have made it better if it said Dick's shuts down, but that was years ago.
I don't have All a right. song about the Pink Taco, sorry.
Okay, well, good. Well, so in the meantime, because Jackson was such a big fan, he has been working all show on a little tribute to his favorite restaurant shutting down, Hooters. I have not heard this. I don't think anybody has heard this.
Yeah, Jackson's... no, it's just a quick hitter, just something that came into my mind. And Jackson
seems very proud of it. He's been telling us all about it in the commercial breaks.
I'm as proud as you can be about a dumb parody song, I guess.
Let's take a listen. This is your ode to Hooters.
Hey, Hooters, all I know is please don't go. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, please don't leave. How will these girls get degrees? Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, hear me sing. I love boobies and I love wings. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, it's goodbye. I've been going there since I can drive. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. I'd like to thank the Academy. Thank you.
All right, nice job.
Standing ovation. That was beautiful.
Dale Ordway, baby.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
That did not go in the direction I thought it would.
No, I was totally shocked.
All right.
I want another verse.
Hey, yes. Hooters, all I know is please don't go. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, please don't leave. How will these girls get degrees? Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters.
I don't understand that line.
How will these girls get degrees?
Oh, how will these girls get degrees?
I thought it was get the grease.
Okay, no, get the grease. Okay,
I've never been the most affluent person.
No, it was affluent. Okay.
Not the right word either. Yeah, I'm crumbling here.
Well, you know you're not affluent.
I think we all.
Hey,
just
Hooters, hear me sing. I love boobies and I love wings. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters.
Hey, Hooters.
Well. All right. Jackson, I hate to do this.
Now we're gonna.
But before the end of the show, I need a hey Hooters. I need you to do the singing part, all right? Because like the oh
yeah, I know. I was just telling Stiz that, and he's like, dude, you're overthinking it. You don't have to do that. I'm like, I gotta do something.
But we need to attach that to that because I mean, listen, you can't tease us with such a great intro, and not deliver on a rousing, uplifting chorus.
Hey Hooters. You understand how humiliating that is singing that into a studio by myself?
Jackson,
I want to hear you sing all day.
You did stand up with AI jokes. I mean, you can handle this,
Jackson. That was that was absolutely fantastic. You rose to the occasion.
I guess right, I could put some personality into it next time.
No, that was great. All right. Don't play it right now. Don't play it.
What was more uncomfortable, the Breslow interview this morning or listening to that?
Well, the Breslow interview.
We should make Breslow listen to that. Hey, Hooters.
I think they'll be touched. This might bring them back in business.
All right.
What
all right.
Songbird he is.
It was great. Okay, so I need before 5 o'clock the chorus. Okay, can you do that, Jackson?
Yeah, if you, I mean, you're the boss, man.
No. I'm not the boss. I'm just. I will try. Okay, because that was so good. I it would be awesome if there was a chorus as well.
Probably
that,
not by 5, but maybe by the end of the show.
Oh yeah, sure. Oh yeah, 5 is like 15 minutes. How about by 5:30? Do you think?
We'll see what we can do over here.
Okay, yeah, you just do the best you can because that was
dance monkey.
This is the first time Jackson's been embarrassed by any of the business.
This is the best
find
dude. That was great. That was wonderful. All right. Well, we will break, and when we come back, we will do some more highbrow Marconi Award. Nominated stuff right here on the Rich Ken and Christian Arcand show.
Hey, Hooters.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainleaf, Ken Laird, Christian Arcand broadcasting right now from Fenway Park. And you know what? I'm looking around and I like this time of day. I like doing the show like from now till the end because there's all the people outside and there's, you know, everyone's in a good mood, ready to go to a baseball game. And the one thing I like that the city just did is they just opened up like several different, because of the World Cup, seven different areas where you can walk around now with a drink in your hand, like a beverage.
You were telling me that. Anything around Fenway or this is all downtown?
No, but that's what I was just thinking when I was looking at it. There's one area that's like near Downtown Crossing that you can do it. I believe that there's one over near Faneuil Hall and there's a couple other spots too.
You can drink on Jersey Street too.
You have to be in that bar, though, right? Like, you have to be whatever up. Who's got, on first got, used to be?
Well, yeah, that's the dugout now. But I think they have,
Arcan's been doing this for years.
Yeah, right. They have, vendors out there. So I think you can just get there and drink it there.
Yeah. I see. Once you scan your ticket.
Once you're in.
Yeah, because you can't get on Jersey Street until you scan your ticket. So
You'd be able to right here.
That's what I'm saying. So why wouldn't they do that for, like, Lansdowne Street? I mean, I'm looking around right now, and, you know, it's full of people, and there's all these bars. How great would it be if you could just go from bar to bar, have a drink in your hand. I don't know why they haven't done that. It's such a great idea. And I like a lot of the stuff that the city's been doing lately to keep the nightlife going. They've been, you know, letting bars stay open a little bit later if they want to. I guess that's been paying off in spades. I was completely wrong about that. Good for them. Hell yeah. You know what? There's even guys from New York saying, yeah, there we go. You know, we're a little, but it's true. It's like Boston has this bad reputation for years that they, you know, they go to sleep early. Like, yeah. You know, you try to go out at midnight and
the city
you can't
that
find
always
anything.
Sleeps.
That's right. The city that always sleeps. That's kind of the joke, but it's true. But I like the fact now that some bars can stay open three. You're keeping the open containers out. I don't know why on St. Patrick's Day, they don't make it a citywide ordinance that you can walk around with a drink in your hand. There's no reason to go down to Southie and arrest people. Everyone's got a drink in their hand. Everyone does.
Well, that's why you and I were just talking about this before the show. Like, when did that even start? Like, where in America did somebody say open containers were dangerous? This is a bad influence on such and such or leads to some behavior. What's the problem?
I think it's an anti-hobo move, you know, to try to keep, you know, everyone, from not becoming like an alcoholic. But the deal is like, you know, there's even beaches. You know, when you go to the beach, it's always nice if you want to bring like a cooler and
right.
Have a couple beers on the beach, but you can't do that. I'm looking around at the people outside and there's all these great bars and it would help out the bars too. And maybe even be able to set up like kiosks out here. It just, I love what the city has been doing. And it is kind of funny how it's taken having a bunch of foreigners to come here to show us how to like do it right.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis.
right. It's like, you know, the Scottish came here and we did all this great stuff for the Scottish. And you know what? They loved you. They love the city for it. So take a lesson from them. Thank you, every country that's come here to visit us for the World Cup, because you've kind of shown the city that it's okay to stay out later. It's okay to party. That sounded like the worst thing. I let me take that sentence back.
But even beyond that, it's the way the Scottish did it in a way where it was partying, but it was in good nature. It's not like they were rioting or like trashing the city or throwing stuff. Like they do, they're cleaning up after themselves. They're having a good time. They're getting people involved.
I'll be honest. It was kind of weird. There was one time where I went with a couple of friends and we went to Reykjavik, which, by the way, if you're looking for like a guy's weekend, I can't recommend it more. It's cheap to fly to Reykjavik. It is. It's a 4-hour flight. So, I mean,
any Hooters?
Of course, Reykjavik was loaded with Hooters. I mean, Jackson can tell you all. Thank you very much, Jackson. But no. So it's an inexpensive flight. It's 4 hours. It's international, so you feel like you're in a completely different world. But I remember, like, I was at like this bar, and it got kind of late, and it was absolutely packed, and you know, everyone's drinking and whatever. And it was one of those things where, if I was in a Boston bar and it was like that, there'd probably be a fight that might end up breaking out. There was people like spilling beers all over each other. But like over there, everyone's in such a good mood. And I think that these foreigners are coming over here and teaching people that you can actually stay out and drink and have a good time and not turn into an a-hole. Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, the Scottish, there's something about them, man. I don't know what it is.
It was a seminal moment in the city's history. We have pivoted, hopefully, to like a new era. Don't you think?
I would love that. I also like that there's a bunch of places in town that are getting creative. What was the place that was in Marshfield? There is this old Chinese restaurant that's in Marshfield.
Oh, yeah, the Ming Dynasty.
The Ming Dynasty, yeah, the Ming Dynasty, that's it. And the Ming Dynasty is like, it looks like in like it's like a strip mall, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody a couple months ago went to the Ming Dynasty and was like, hey, you know, I've got this crazy idea. Would you let me throw a rave inside your old Chinese restaurant? You know, trust me, it'll bring in money. And I guess that they went back and forth and the owners didn't want them to do it. And finally they gave in and they sold like 1,000 tickets in 20 minutes and they sold the place out. Apparently Dave and Buster's, you know, because a bunch of Dave and Buster's were, you know, in danger of going out of business. They started throwing raves at a Dave and Buster. Wow. And all of a sudden, like, matter of fact, Google Dave and Buster's rave. And it's now a thing. It's now a trend.
They've reimagined the roster in the way that, what's his name? Shams was saying the Celtics are doing. Go ahead, go ahead. Ah, Stiz isn't.
Stiz is falling asleep with the job.
Sorry. The switch.
Waiting. There's never been a more Ken Laird pivot than that one.
That was a good one.
In the history of Ken Laird pivots.
I wasn't really trying to get it back. He's doing it again. It's the Ken Laird pivot.
I think it's nice that I like what the city's been doing. Just, you know, let's keep it going. Don't chicken out as soon as the World Cup's done.
I just sorry, Rich.
No, go ahead.
Unfortunately, and I totally agree with you, Rich, but I think you guys would agree too. It's always somebody else that ruins it for the rest of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, sure. There could be some a-hole that gets in a fight. And I understand that. But right now, I mean,
got to ride it till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, like don't let that be the...
Good point. 774 texture. We need a Bourbon Street in Boston. What is the closest thing
this
we have?
Could be, there's this House of Blues with the balconies right here. I mean, it already looks like New Orleans a little bit.
There's an area in downtown Crossing that I love. It's one of my favorite streets for restaurants. It's got J.M. Curly, which is one of my favorite bars. It's got Democracy Brewing. It's got Temple Records. It's got like the Wig Shop, Estrella, like all these great. It's the place where the Patriots got in trouble for having a late night party. But it's this one road, and they're turning that into like a little bit of a Bourbon Street by letting you walk around with drinks.
But it's got to be longer. We have to connect Seaport to North End to their downtown and then back here to Fenway.
They should absolutely make Hanover Street like a bourbon. They should let you walk around the North End with a drink.
Yeah.
They absolutely should let you do that.
Well, that's been a long fight, right? Going back to COVID, they allowed outdoor seating, but then they didn't, and there was a whole crackdown.
The city did not like the North End for a while, and to be honest, it seemed really unfair. I mean, there was some kind of like really shady stuff going on.
No, it wasn't. The North End didn't want that. Like, the people who live there didn't want the outdoor seating.
Well, there were a lot of restaurant owners calling.
Yeah, restaurant owners don't live in the North End, though. Like, that's the difference.
A lot of them do.
You have to go by what your voters want, and that's what they wanted. And then we destroyed Jonathan Kraft in the North End.
Arcan was born in the North End. He's very particular about that.
I am, yes. I feel like that thing got misreported.
44 Plant Street.
All I know is that there was a drive-by biking at one point, which is wild. Like, that was really strange.
The bakery there.
By the way, in Iceland, does it stay daylight all
modern patient?
So I went out to dinner. I went out to dinner. I went in April one time, and I went out to dinner. And when I came out, it was 10:45 at night, and the sun had not gone down yet.
That's awesome.
And which means that everyone stays out super late. Yeah. And by the way, when that's the one cool thing about like Scandinavian countries. like, if you go out and you go to a club, you're there with people in their 20s, people in their 70s.
Can't sleep.
Gay, straight, it doesn't matter. Everyone's out because I don't know why. It's like the people are just happier over there, and everyone's in a good mood, and everyone's your friend, and everything's legal.
Oh, everything.
I don't know if everything's legal, but I saw a lot of it. But yeah, it's if you ever like planning like a guy's trip, it was amazing because you could, for the same price of going to Panama City or something, you could go to Reykjavik. And it's truly, it's well, but you know what? There you go. This is your new Bourbon Street.
Here it is.
That's what I'm into it.
All right, 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we've got some Jaylen Brown stuff, including Jaylen Brown himself talking about what it feels like to constantly be on the trading block. We will get to that 2 minutes, right back.